everyone, and welcome to Plotty Time, the podcast where we three gamers discuss video game stories in detail with all the necessary backlash. On one side of the table, we have Chomp Slap.
My neighbors are so annoying, dude. They kept me up all night, pounding on the wall, telling me to stop screaming.
On the other side of the table is Dr. Scientist.
A frown is a much better umbrella than a smile.
My name is Papa Scotch, and as I always say, I'm just going to go beast mode. I'm going to start biting faces and dicks. If I die, please don't remember me that way. Welcome to Potty Time. 40 eggs?
That's a big fucking pile of garbage.
I'm the farting demon in this relationship.
I'd be an awesome rich person.
You're both just an embarrassment.
God, I'm awesome today.
We're talking Tom Hanks and his vehicle.
Yeah, I had my finger in my mouth waiting for you to finish.
You gotta get four balls or something?
Like dick piercing?
No, you know damn well I'm fucking that demon.
It's still sexy.
How could that be close and not be right?
Yeah, I'll just kill some random dude.
If you want cheese, you get a milk.
You're waiting for me.
No, I can hang on. It sucked. Boners.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Plotty Time, sponsored by TaskRabbit, who's who I should have called instead of putting together those goddamn IKEA bookshelves by myself.
Is that a service that builds things for you?
Yeah.
They do whatever task you pay them for, I think.
Oh.
Yeah.
I should get a job with them, just build fucking shelves for people.
You can do that?
Yeah. Then you have to like rake leaves and shit too.
Oh, I just want to build shelves. Or do like Legos.
I've heard people do like when we were at waiting in line for concert tickets for Nine Inch Nails years ago, there were people in line that worked for TaskRabbit. They were just standing in line. That's what they got paid to do.
That sounds like a great gig.
Yeah.
Look it up, guys. Hey.
Yeah, right. You need some money on the side?
Podcast got to make money somehow, you know? but let's go. Let's start where we normally start. Dr. Scientist, what are you playing? What are you watching? What are you doing? What's going on over there?
What am I watching?
Mm-hmm.
I watched the classic film Airheads.
Nice. Oh,
that's so fucking awesome.
It's all right.
If we could just get in a pool and just spin around like an egg.
It doesn't age as well as you think it would, but yeah. There's still parts of it that are good. Who did you side with in the David Lee Roth Van Halen split?
There's a lot of records after he left.
And Joe Mantegna. It's probably Joe Mantegna's best role.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I still love it. You know, who would win the fight, Lemmy or God?
Trick question.
Get out of here, you cop.
It's so great because as soon as he leaves, he grabs his badge and his gun. It's like, holy shit, they were right.
Yeah, yeah. Wasn't
only
that
a real rock and roller?
Harold Ramis?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Rest in peace.
I mean, it's funny. They drop the R-bomb a lot, but.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's not surprising.
It's a 90s movie.
Yeah. But I mean, it's still kind of funny. I mean, it's the music they're talking about is so dated by now. And the song they do is from fucking, oh, what's the name of that band? But the
Johnny
song,
Don't Care.
Yeah. The actual song is weird for what they do in the movie with that stuff. Because it's kind of like, never mind. You have to listen to the whole song and see the lyrics. And it doesn't really fit with what the movie's doing. I can't remember who originally sings it, though.
Degeneration.
It's called Generated. Degenerated by...
Degenerate.
Oh, hold on.
It's just down.
Edit point.
Yeah. Degenerate. Reagan Youth. That's who sings it.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It makes sense.
It's a song called Degenerated by Reagan Youth. And it's about like being like straight edge kind of. And it's kind of weird to put in that.
Yeah. Okay. I could see that.
Man, they were really betting that people wouldn't put that together. You know what I mean? Like, what if they listen to the lyrics? No one's listening to the lyrics. How are they even going to find them? They'd have to buy the soundtrack, and we didn't even put them in there.
Why'd they do a fucking Reagan use?
That's probably all they could afford.
Yeah, okay. I got it.
Oh, and another reason you shouldn't watch that Covenant movie I talked about last week,
because
the music is fucking terrible.
Just butt rock? I imagine it's just butt rock.
It's not even butt rock. It's like some guy sitting in his basement with a four-track.
Oh,
awesome.
Like putting the music together.
Okay.
So amazing is what you said.
So then to wash that taste out of my mouth, I watched Coffee Town.
Nice.
What's Coffee Town? Is that the one with
Glenn Howard?
Yes.
Yep. And Ben Schwartz.
Benny
Who's
Schwartz.
Just the worst cop.
Yeah.
In that.
The safety's on.
Oh, wait. No, it's not.
He's great. He's always fun.
And like when he drives up on the curb and hits the thing. But yeah, if you haven't seen that, check it out. It's always good and funny.
Still holds up?
Yeah.
All right.
And it's funny when the other guy's smoking just so we can get the smoke break and come over to Coffee Town. And fucking Josh Groban's in it.
Oh, Yeah, it's a classic.
Then I finished up Echo.
Yeah?
Yeah, and it's meh. I wasn't too thrilled with it.
It's only required if you're into the Marvel universe.
Yeah, it's kind of like anticlimactic. Mm-hmm. Right. Kingpin's cool. I mean, Vincent D'Onofrio's in it. He's as cool as shit as the Kingpin. It's probably more to set up the second season or the third or fourth season of Daredevil that they're doing on Disney Plus coming out.
I got
Daredevil Reborn or whatever it is.
They have to take a step back. Just saying. Dude, too much.
They did.
I know. Yeah. Just still take another one.
There's so much. It's impossible to keep up with it.
Yeah.
And then for the last thing I did, I watched the first two episodes of a show recommended by Papa Scotch.
Uh-oh, you only got two episodes in? Or?
Yeah, I only got two episodes in. I'll probably finish it because it seems pretty fucking funny.
Oh, nice.
Obliterated?
Oh, really? You got... Yeah, that's a fun show.
Yeah,
it's a shame it got canceled. I was pissed about that.
I only watched the first two episodes, and it's pretty fucking funny. Just like how they're all hammered, and they're just trying to be normal, going about their business, trying to find this nuke.
Yeah.
Oh, that, yeah.
Yeah, they're in.
As long as, like, if you know you're watching something that's just supposed to be dumb and fun, it's great.
Yeah, because if you don't remember, the story is that they, like, spend these months hunting down this terrorist guy who's going to blow up Las Vegas, sell a nuke or so, and they eventually stop him, but then they find out that it wasn't the real nuke, and there's another one still in town.
Yeah.
But before they find that out, they go and have their celebration party, and there's a lot of drugs and drinking going on.
So what, the whole season takes place over, like, 24 hours or whatever?
It's less than that.
Yeah. It's something like, I think maybe 2 days.
Yeah.
Maybe?
Well, in the first episode, I think it's like 12 o'clock at night, they find out that there's still a bomb and they're all hammered from the party.
Yeah. I got to check it out.
It's pretty funny.
One guy took a shitload of shrooms.
Yeah. Nice.
And fucking the bomb defusing guy's like all hammered on all kinds of things.
Oh, yeah. He was. That's who is that? That's a famous actor.
Jeremy Renner.
No.
It would have made sense.
It would have.
Oh, what the fuck is his name?
I remember specifically saying that he was in it trying to sell you guys.
Yeah, I remember saying.
C. Thomas
Howell.
There it is.
C. Thomas Howell.
Yeah. Yeah. He gets like all mollied out and stuff, and he's fucking passed out naked, and they're carrying him around. And in the second episode, they try and find like. Meth to get him out of the coma that he's kind of in, the drug coma.
Oh, man. Okay. I think he sold
me. And these are like people who are, they're supposed to be like more clandestine than Navy SEALs. Like they are
right.
Cream of the crop, black ops operatives
mm-hmm.
who are very like professional and great at their jobs. They just now have to do it completely hammered.
But yeah, I recommend it. That's all I did this week though, Papa Scotch. Throw something at us.
Well, guess what? I played Chell. Played a lot of Chell.
Oh,
played,
did you spend any money on PAX?
No, I didn't.
Oh, two in a row? Jeez.
I got close. I got real close, guys. But I didn't.
Oh, yeah? What was the, what made you get close?
So.
What was a triggering event?
Yeah.
It was an event. And now I can't even remember who the player is. But there was one where this big card came out. It was an icon. And if you paid 6,500 points, you could just buy the card outright instead
of
having $65? To build it through a bunch of different packs. I think it was 60, yeah.
Yeah.
Of what?
Real
That's
money.
A whole other game.
Yeah. It was real fucking money.
Yeah, you could get Call of Duty for that.
Yeah, so I was like, what am I doing? Like, how about I just try to earn it legit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if I don't, then I can stop playing the game. That'll be great.
There you go.
But no, I didn't buy that pack. Thought about it for a second. I was like, what the fuck am I doing? Because you see the price. You're like, oh, I'll just buy. How much does that actually cost? Like $8? You're like, holy fuck. No,
yeah,
not doing
that's
that.
That's insane.
So yeah, played Chell. Kept working on my God Squad. Got Mario Lemieux up in there now.
Ooh.
It's about time you got someone good.
Gordie Howe, Mario Lemieux, that's and Wayne Gretzky on the same
team. It's a name
line.
I know.
My team's called the Motley Ploppers. Come after us. You ain't shit. Yeah. That was more to like the people. You guys are cool.
Oh, yeah.
But what did I watch? Let's start with the serious stuff. I watched The Meg.
Oh, I thought you were doing serious stuff.
The first one?
I was going to get into the two serious ones, and then I switched it up at the last second. I thought it'd be fun. The Meg with Jason Statham fighting a fucking megalodon shark.
Yep. It's always fun to watch.
Oh, yeah.
Good. Oh, it was something, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Man, I was bored. But yeah, that's The Meg. Then we watched May December, which was something.
Sounds too serious.
Yeah.
No, it was good. It was really good, but it was way too serious and creepy as fuck.
Well, you guys know what that's about? It makes it sound creepy.
It's like a rom-com?
No.
Okay.
It's the opposite of that.
It's a tromcom.
It's a tromcom. Oh my god! Do we just create a new genre? Tromcom. I'm writing it down. Let's make a shirt. No, I'm kidding. We're not doing another one.
No.
So it's a true story. But it's a fictional. It's a movie about the story that happened about a woman who was a teacher who fell in love with her 13-year-old student.
Oh, okay.
And then like the student graduated and they had a kid and she got in trouble. And then they had the kid, and they hooked up after and got married.
Yeah, sounds like what I thought it would be.
Yeah, the true story.
It's a true story. It actually happened. But the movie starred what's her name and the guy.
Yeah, yep. It definitely did.
Yeah,
Natalie Portman was in it. She was the journalist who was interviewing the woman who did this.
Mm-hmm.
Who, of course, what's her name?
Stifler's
Julianne
mom.
Moore.
Oh.
Is the mother.
Oh. Okay.
And she was great. Like everyone was great, but talking to her, like something was off. It was done really well, but it was uncomfortable.
She's a good actress. I'm sure she made it feel like it was off.
Yeah.
And then the kid, like the kid who was 13 when they got together, like all that, was played by a guy named Charles Melton, who I think is most famous for like Riverdale.
That's your Lloyd Neck of the Woods, man.
Yeah.
He was so good. He was really good.
He plays a 13-year-old really well.
Well, he's like, I think like 28 or 30 by the time the movie takes place.
Yeah.
But he, like, you could tell there's something off with him and it's subtle. Like he's still hasn't quite grown up. It's weird. Yeah. It's very uncomfortable. They did a good job with it.
All right.
And then on another high note, I watched The Holdovers. That was fun.
What's that?
A movie with Paul Giamatti as a tenured professor at the school. I think it's in the late 60s or 70s or maybe 80s.
No idea.
Anyway, he's this crotchety professor and it's a boarding school and he's there over the Christmas holiday. It's like his year. He has to like stay at the boarding school, you know, and mm-hmm. like watch over any kids that maybe couldn't make it home for the holiday, aka the holdovers.
Oh.
So basically it's kind of like a coming of age story because there was this one kid who was like super rich and he's like, yeah, I didn't make it in time for the flight. And then his dad like sent a jet and like there was six of the kids. And he's like, hey, you guys want to go with me skiing in Utah for the vacation? You guys just want to come? And then basically the story is all the kids leave except for one. So it's Paul Giamatti having to hang out with this like 18-year-old.
That's cool.
Was that uncomfortable?
Yeah, it sounds like mid-December.
No, it was good. It was good. Because
right.
Then the woman who runs the place also joins them and like they all have a nice Christmas dinner. It was good. It was real good. And then the most serious one, which is going to make us all uncomfortable, but I still got to talk about it. I finished the last season of The Righteous Gemstones.
I don't even remember what it was about.
That's the one with the family of televangelists and the dad is John Goodman.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I didn't watch this last season.
It's great.
Is it?
It's just so fucking great. That's where my quote is from about going beast mode and biting faces and dicks.
Oh. This is the season after they open that Florida retreat or whatever?
Yes.
Okay.
That's where this one starts.
Right. All right.
But it was interesting. I mean, I thought it was story-wise the weakest of the three, but I mean, all those people together are fucking hilarious. Like, it wasn't like it was boring to watch.
Yeah, you're just watching it for the acting chops, really.
Yeah, and the improv and fucking Keith and what's his name?
Yeah.
God, their relationship is something else. All right. But yeah, that's all I watched. So how about you there, Sir Chump Slap? What are you playing, watching, doing? What's going on with you?
Well, thanks for asking. Played a little bit of Tiny Tina's Wonderland.
Oh, nice.
I think I got like 8 missions to go yet before I finished all of them that I could find.
Okay.
So we'll see. See how many fucking 20-sided dice I can find the whole time too. Still only dropped like 6-7 legendary so far.
Yeah, I remember that being a lot stingier than Borderlands 2.
Yeah. I don't know, man. If you find all the dice, I guess you can get a crazy loot boost, but I don't know. It's fun. I don't know what most of the legendaries do, so I'll try them out. But I watched a couple movies.
Oh yeah.
Thanks for asking.
Yeah. You guys ever see Nefarious?
Yeah.
Where serial killer is getting a psych evaluation right before his execution?
Yeah, I did.
And he claims to be a demon, and that the psychiatrist will commit 3 murders by the time the
Yeah, it's a little bit too preachy for me.
Yeah. I mean, it was okay, but yeah, you see the ending coming the whole time.
Yeah.
That's a bummer.
Yeah.
Do you recommend or?
No.
No.
I wouldn't watch it.
It's pretty boring.
I was going to talk about it. I was like, I don't even want to bring it up.
I needed something. But yeah, it's pretty much just the interview. Like they're just sitting there talking the whole time. It's kind of boring. It's not as exciting as it should be.
I mean, it's not a bad setup, but then it just gets.
Yeah. Just gets redundant and annoying at the end.
Sounds cool. Sounds like a good concept. Just, I guess they didn't hammer it home.
I mean, yeah, you might like it. Like if you got nothing else to watch, watch it. But it's not great. I wouldn't go out of my way to see it. Unlike the next movie I'm going to talk about, Titanic 666.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay.
They made 665 of those before that?
No. This is about the Titanic 3 that sails over the crash site of the original Titanic.
Oh, yeah. I remember that story.
And they just hang out, like, give it a moment of silence and shit. And there's a guy on board who has all this memorabilia from a dive he got out of the Titanic, and he's selling it to rich people on this cruise ship. And there's a stowaway that does some crazy incantation and revives the dead that come on board and fuck everything up and cause the ship to crash.
Oh, yeah? Is it very slappy?
It wasn't slappy enough.
Oh, okay.
Sounds like a wild documentary.
Yeah. I mean, it's fine, but I don't know. It seems like one of those made-for-TV movies, like for Shudder or something, maybe.
Okay.
Like straight to television, video or whatever.
Hmm. Okay. That's a little bummer.
I don't think it's worth your time. Is it better than
Nefarious?
Nefarious? Yeah, probably. But I don't know. Don't watch it. If you're going to watch anything, watch Immortal. Now, this is a horror anthology. Four stories about these people who can't die.
Oh.
Like, the first story is about this guy who hunts people like the most dangerous game.
Okay.
Like, he can't die, so he's just like, hey, well, I don't know what else to do, so I'm just hunting people.
That checks out. Let's see how those...
Second story is about this couple that tries to commit insurance fraud because they're having a child and they need money. But, yeah, I don't know. They're all fucking weird and messed up. Like, you'll watch one of the stories and you'll be like, why? Why the fuck? That's... crazy. It almost made me cry. One of the stories. It was fucking wild.
Almost made Chump Slap cry.
Well, no, not really, but it could have. In the right mood, in the right setting, but I don't know. It's good. It's a pretty good fucked up anthology. If you got an hour and a half for four fucking mini movies, check it out.
And who's in it?
Who's in it?
I don't think he said anybody was in it.
Anybody we know?
The guy from Happiness, the weirdo who molested the kid.
I don't remember Happiness. I don't know if I saw it.
That's a fucking weird movie. Immortal movie. 2020 maybe? Yeah.
Was it
2019 it came out.
With Tony Todd and Dylan Baker?
I don't know who Tony Todd or Dylan Baker are.
Chelsea, a high school track
yes,
star.
Yes, Tony Todd and
about
Dylan
sexual
Baker.
Misconduct. Yeah.
And Sam Levine.
Oh, Sam Levine.
Yeah, okay. It's interesting. It's fucking, I liked it. It's only got like a 6 rating on IMDb, but.
That's pretty good.
I know. Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was really good. Like, give it a watch. It's kind of right down Slap Alley because it's just so weird and dark and negative.
Cool.
Is it Slap Adjacent?
It's Slap Adjacent, yes.
Okay, good. That clears it up.
Yeah. So if you get anything from this rambling, watch Immortal. Let me know what you think. That's it. That's all I got.
All right. Well, then we'll go ahead and sashay into the Plotty Time vibe.
Ooh, that's a sexy sachet.
I've been working on it.
Where do you get a sachet like that?
At the Amazon.
All right, so the vibe we got this time, there was already news that came out that Xbox totally insists it's not going to stop making consoles, guys. So we didn't even have to worry about that news we heard last week.
Oh, really?
They totally said they're going to stop.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, because luckily in America, businesses are not allowed to lie to you. So.
No. They can't lie to their stockholders. So
they can lie to you all they want. You just can't lie to your stockholders.
They don't know I don't own stock.
Got them.
Yeah. Loophole.
Now, there's also a whole other thing that I wanted to talk about. You guys are familiar with Capcom, right? The people who make video games.
Yep.
We've talked about plenty of them.
Mega Man
and Capcom versus Street Fighter.
Yeah.
So apparently on their website, they put up a poll. And one of the questions they had was, are there any Capcom game series, including spinoffs, that you would like to see get a sequel or a new game?
Not a reboot.
I guess just to bring back dead franchises, because this list is pretty interesting.
All right, let's hear it.
Yeah. You got Ace Attorney, Lost Planet, Mega Man, Dragon's Dogma, Toroi no Paruma, which I don't know what that is.
None of those are like
Don't worry,
lost.
Don't worry, we're getting there.
Okay.
Versus Capcom, Resident Evil, Street Fighter, Sengoku Basara, Dino Crisis.
Yeah.
Dead Rising.
Okay.
Devil May Cry, Darkstalkers, Okami, Onimusha, Final Fight, Breath of Fire, Ghosts and Goblins.
Breath and Fire.
Ooh.
Monster Hunter 1942.
Yeah, I'd play a fucking Dino Crisis.
Well, you can go vote for it right now.
No.
That's probably what I'm going to do. No, you're not going to do that? You're not going to go that far? You don't play
yeah,
it that bad?
I mean, I'll wait somebody else to do the voting for
I
me.
I might play a new Dead Rising, too.
Breath of Fire, maybe. But some of those they just released new games for.
Yeah, like Street Fighter and shit.
Yeah.
Why do you even put that on?
Isn't there a new Dragon's Dogma coming out?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
Well, let's go vote, guys.
Yeah.
There was another question that asked, is there a game you would like to see completely remade with the latest technology, including character design and story direction? And the list you could vote for was Onimusha 1 through 3, Gargoyle's Quest 1 and 2, Final Fight, Breath of Fire 1 through 3, Mega Man 1 through 3, Commando, Ace Attorney 1 through 3.
Do you really need to remake Mega Man?
No. 1 through 3? Releases.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's
well,
pixel.
If anyone out there wants them, you can go vote for them.
Oh, don't think I won't.
You won't.
Even though voting will probably be closed by the time this airs or releases.
Maybe. It could. And then I only have one other piece of news to hear here to talk about, which I thought was a very interesting story. So there was this gentleman in Korea, mm-hmm. South Korea, who said to the government he is a conscientious objector. So he refused the country's mandatory military service.
Like mm-hmm. Smokey from Big Lebowski.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Just like Smokey.
Objector.
And he argued he was a conscientious objector. He didn't want to go. And then a lower court, like he went to court for this because you have to go.
Yeah.
And the defense said, well, we just found out that you love playing the video game PUBG. So that means you couldn't possibly be against war. So now you have to go.
Sounds right. Yeah. Sounds like fucking Korea.
Perfect.
Man.
No notes.
Yeah, so he's going to be going because he played a video game called PUBG, which is simulated shooting.
Jerk.
Yeah, that's what he gets.
That's what you get for living in South Korea.
That's what he gets. Oh, boy, that's not the bad one, you know. The North is supposed to be the bad one. South Korea is the fun one with K-pop.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's what you get for...
You should have joined the K-pop band.
Yeah, right. They don't have to go.
I think they do.
Yeah, they do.
Do they?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. This is in America. Like, you have to do stuff when the government says it in other countries.
Yeah, but I thought K-pop was a government-run thing.
Well, that's just your conspiracy thing. Your psyop.
It's a psyop. We all know that.
I'd like to hear more about your ideas. Maybe we'll do a mini-sode. But that's all I got for the play time vibe check.
Really trying to extend the time more.
That's all right.
All right, so the game this week, it's a game I found on the internet. It's called Clive Barker's Undying.
Oh, Clive Barker, known for making really good games.
Yeah. What did we give his last game?
Jericho?
Yeah.
Probably a 74.
Probably.
You think it's a 74? I think it's up in the 80s, I think.
It might be. It might be the perfect game, if I remember correctly.
No, we gave it a 32, which isn't that bad.
No, that's pretty good.
Back on April 23rd, 2020.
Oh, that's why. Okay.
Like, that can't be right. That's a huge score. These days it is.
Yeah.
It was released February 20th, 2001. Number one song in the country. Any guesses, gentlemen?
Oh, shit. 2001. We just did that last week.
What was it? What was the day?
February 20th.
February 20th.
Oh, it's like 8 months before.
It's Valentine's 50
Cent
day.
In the club.
No, it's not 50 Cent in the club.
It's not Mary J. Blige.
No, it's not the same song.
What did I say last time? Eminem.
No. Let's just call Long Island Sal and see what he's got going on.
Love to hear those sweet, dulcet tones.
Yeah, he really, I think, has been working on singing.
I think he's taking lessons.
Hey, guys, how's it going? Why'd you hang up on me last time? What's the deal with that, chump slap?
It must have been I think there was an error in the the phone, or it ran out of battery. Something weird, dude. I couldn't figure it out.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, sorry. I almost called him Uncle Sal. Don't tell him. Sorry, Long Island Sal.
It's all right. It's fine. I know you guys would never like accidentally or like on purpose hang up on me. That wouldn't be cool. Cause things.
Hey man, we need a song.
Yeah, yeah. Let's get to the song. How about it, Long Island Sal?
No. Yeah. It makes me feel better. I'd like to sing it. Here we go. I can tell you're lying, cause when you're replying, you stutter. I can tell you're lying, cause when you're replying, you stutter. I can tell you're lying, cause
stutter?
When you're replying, stutter. Yeah,
stutter by who?
That's the name of the song.
Maroon 5.
No, it's not Maroon 5, but you're very, very, very close.
Three Doors Down.
They're not close to...
That's close to Maroon 5, isn't it?
They're close.
Adam Levine.
Oh, no. It's
by Joe, featuring Mystical.
Oh, you guys remember Mystical, right?
Yeah.
From the No Limit Gang, I think?
Sure,
yeah. I'll take your word for it on that.
They had a gold tank.
They were cool.
Am I making this up? I don't think I am.
No. I don't think you are.
I think you're thinking of Army of Two.
That's a game.
Yeah.
I know, but they had gold weapons and shit.
You're right. That's what I'm getting. I'm getting that fictional game we talked about once confused with real life hip hop in the early 2000s. It happens.
Yeah, it happens all the time.
Number one movie in the country. Any guesses on that before I give you some hints?
Toy Story 2.
No, it's not Toy Story 2.
I can't. I have no idea.
Ocean's 11.
All right, tagline. How long? Wait, why would Ocean's 11 come out 8 months before Ocean 11 was the number one movie in the...
I don't remember when the months were. Jesus Christ.
All right, tagline. Here we go. How long can a man stay silent before he returns to the thing he does best? It's a sequel.
Jack Reacher.
Famous movie.
Oh, no. Mission Impossible 2.
The Silent Man.
No. Here we go. Here's the synopsis.
Quiet Man, my bad.
7 years have passed since Dr. Hannibal Lecter escaped from custody.
Red Dragon?
The doctor is now at large in Europe.
Is that what it's called, Red Dragon?
Red Dragon was the third one.
The other one. Okay. The middle one, where he's eating Ray Liotta's brain.
Oh. I saw it in the movie theater, and I can't even remember what it's called.
Silence of the Lambs 2. Fuck. Manhunter.
No, that was the one that was sort of about that, but before. Prequel. Fuck. It's his first name.
Hannibal.
Oh, duh.
Hannibal, that's God correct. You nailed it. Good job.
I just listened to a podcast all about these movies.
And then this day in history, February 20th, 1839... Congress prohibits dueling in the District of Columbia, you fucking cowards.
What? You can't even duel there anymore?
I'm pretty sure our Congress is trying to overturn that.
They probably are. That would be something.
Yeah.
It was released for PC and Mac, developed by EA Los Angeles, published by EA Games. It is a single-player first-person shooter, and I picked it this week, guys, because I knew it would be great.
It was, yeah, so far.
All right, so do you want me to just get into it? I mean, we can just move along. I have way too many notes. But we start the game on a boat heading to the coast of Ireland. It is October 1923, and we're meeting our first character, our playable character, whose name is Patrick Galloway.
Oh, love that name.
It's a good name.
It's a good one. There's some good ones in this.
Yeah.
And then he decides to stare at the moon and just give us a lot of voiceover about a lot of story, what's going on here, which was a weird way to go, but sure, right? So he was a soldier in World War I. His old commanding officer was a guy by the name of Jeremy Covenant. And during the war, their unit was tasked with killing the Nazis that were super into like supernatural stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a run-in with their leader, who he's like, I don't know who it was. He had this strange stone. He was yelling these crazy words. And then Patrick got Green Lantern by him, and he goes right into the hospital. Mm. And he had a green stone with him. That's all he remembers from this night.
Wild.
Which, who hasn't, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A nickel.
And then Patty gets off the boat, and he heads to... I call him Patty a lot.
That's fine.
And then he gets off the boat, he heads to Jeremiah's sprawling, huge-ass family mansion that is looking kind of rough these days. So Jeremiah's like, hey, I'm dying. I'm dying from an old war wound. And as we all know with the timeline, it's been like 5 years since the war ended.
Okay.
And Jeremiah saved his life, right?
Yes. Supposedly,
the guy's
Jeremiah
name is Jeremiah, right? You said Jeremy a couple times. And
yeah.
Did I say Jeremy? I thought I said Jeremiah.
You were mixing it in and out, and I was getting confused.
Yeah. Jerry. Let's call him Jerry from now on.
Jer.
Jerry.
Good old Jerry.
Jer Bear.
Notes is Jerry. So yeah, we'll go with Jerry. So he goes into what happened after the war, explaining it to Patty, how his family's estate is in disarray. The whole place is getting ransacked. His siblings weren't around. There are five of them in the family, five of the siblings, starting with Jeremiah as the oldest. Then you had Beth and Aaron, the twins, Ambrose, and Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm.
That will be relevant later.
Mm-hmm.
But he needs your help. There's all kinds of these weird fucking beasts and monsters after him, and he heard through the grapevine that there was this guy named Patrick Calloway that's really great at hunting supernatural monsters, so he called you. And he's like, help me out here.
Wait, didn't they serve together?
Yeah, he knew him.
They served together and they knew each other, but in that time, Patrick became famous for being like an occult expert. So after a brief fight with a bunch of these monsters and the thing, you get back to Jerry. And he tells you, well, this might have something to do with it. I don't think it does. But this might be the thing that, like, caused this whole thing. I know this sounds nuts. But when we were little kids, we were fucking around our dad's library. We found this wild-ass occult book and this group of, like, standing stones. So we performed the ritual in it. And it was so much fun.
Something happened.
Kids will be kids, right? They're going to find
occult books. They had to do something before TikTok.
Do the spells. Oh my God. Is there like spells in TikTok? I bet there are, aren't there?
I'm sure there's a TikTok thing that does that.
TikTok challenge, rise the dead.
Hashtag rise them. Anyway. Wait, do they do hashtags? You know what? I don't care.
Who cares?
I'm not going to learn. Yeah. So, apparently this ritual they did, it brought a wrath onto their entire family. And when the children started reaching adulthood, they started going fucking crazy one by one and then dying, leaving only Jerry remaining. And Patty's like, not to be whatever, but if this is a family curse, won't it just die with you? Like, do I need to be here?
Can you just die?
You're almost there.
Yeah, I don't have to debunk it. You're fucking dead, dude.
Yeah, I think we found the source. Solved. And Jerry's like, LOL, I don't know, maybe it could be, I don't know, but it's not a guarantee, so we should probably look into it. And he's like, fine. Oh, yeah, by the way, all the siblings, they have been reanimated, are pure evil, and please deal with that.
Yeah, take care of it, please.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, pretty standard video game formula. Someone needs help, they all of a sudden get real bossy about it.
Yeah, right.
Send you on your way. So Patty continues on. He kills these basic enemies, I guess the very common enemies called howlers. Mm-hmm. And as he's walking around, he's getting all this info from interviews and people he's talking to. There's a lot of them. I'm just going to kind of sprinkle them in here.
Right.
But he learns a lot through journals, through memories, through people. And apparently there's this creature that's behind the curse, something like the Undying King.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he is a powerful demonic presence that threatens to destroy reality, as quoted by one of the characters.
Mm.
I don't care which one.
Very Lovecraftian.
I hate when that happens.
It's extremely Lovecraftian. There's the real world and things are a little weird, but that's just because there's a tear in it. And on the other side of that tear is a weird-ass monster.
Mm-hmm.
That's 70% of what H.P. Lovecraft
wrote. Yeah, it's not just a weird-ass monster. It's a super powerful, omnipotent monster.
Oh, yeah, it's like a kaiju-like size. Yeah. That's where we're starting.
Right.
Or infinitesimally big. We get it. So you also see this vision, like real quick, of like a bunch of Celtic priests burying a Celtic king alive in some kind of ancient ritual. You're like, I don't know, we should think about that. And then maybe we'll come back to that. But you find out that in order to stop the king from entering the world, you need to fight each of the siblings and Count Otto Kaisinger, which I don't know why he got added to this. I know he was obviously the dude that put you in a coma in the beginning of the game.
Yeah, you were fighting his, like, the... He led that, what are they called, like division?
That supernatural Nazi unit, whatever they are.
Yeah.
So he led them, I don't know why he's here. I was confused by that, but I guess we'll just go with it. And then Patty goes through the wrong door and finds himself in some kind of red clouded world, which we later find out is called Oniros. And this happens a lot in the game, like time and space don't make sense as much, and you kind of travel in between the dream other realm and the Earth realm, I guess.
Hmm.
Which, goddamn it, I picked two games in a row where you got like the real world and other kinds of fucking spectral worlds.
Yeah, well, those are fun games. I like the idea.
Yeah, so you run into the guy, Count Otto Kaisinger. You have a little bit of a duel, but it's kind of like this is what you're in for, like a tutorial type duel. Games do this all the time. Like you fight a guy and you get like a quarter of his health down. And you're like, ha, I'll come find you later, you little bastard. And they get away.
Right, right.
It was one of those. And then Patrick continued going on, and he's talking to people. He's opening more journals. He makes his way back in time to this ancient monastery that he got to through the family mausoleum.
Mm-hmm.
In here, the monks have fallen under the evil spell, and they are guarding the only weapon that can actually kill the five siblings, or four siblings, the crazy siblings.
Get the fuck out. What kind of weapon?
What weapons are they?
It is a scythe of the Celts.
Oh, the Celts?
The Celtic?
Scythe. I was so fucking focused on saying scythe correctly.
I know, right?
And I said Celts instead of Celts. Damn, that was close.
It's like the Celtics.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's okay. Larry Bird's okay. Scythe, all right?
Larry Bird's scythe. How fucking big would that scythe be? That'd be like 8 foot tall.
What?
So you kill everyone, you get the scythe, and there's some kind of supernatural explosion of souls, which I didn't really quite understand exactly. But as you go through, you find Elizabeth in there, and she's That's clearly not
Elizabeth.
Herself.
It's just Elizabeth.
Yeah, Elizabeth.
There's no E.
I see. I put both in here. So Lisbeth, L Train. You find L Train in the family catacombs. She's a monstrous like version of herself. I saw it as like a deadite, like from Evil Dead 1 and 2.
Oh yeah, I guess that
yeah,
worked.
I could see that. Yeah,
like that's what she. I think that was the inspiration. And you fight. You go crit. You whatever. You fight. You cut her head off with the scythe.
Nice.
She's still fucking flopping around, talking all kinds of shit. Not attached to her body, not doing nothing. And you're like, well, I'm going to do the natural thing, which is to set this on fire and throw it off a cliff.
What else would you do with it?
That is a way to kill a reanimated demon head. I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
Don't ask me how I know that.
Is there water under this cliff? Because I was like, why'd he set it on fire if he's throwing it in water?
Yeah, I was wondering that also.
There was one cliff that's like lava underneath. I don't know if they're all lava or maybe they're echo from the last game we talked about. I don't know.
Yeah, who the hell knows?
So then as we continue on here, you head back to the mansion, speak with J-Town, which is Jerry. And then this is when the ghoul Ambrose arrives, demanding that Patty hand over the stone. And if you give me the stone, I'll let Jerry live. I won't kill him right here in front of you. And you're like, all right. And you throw the stone to the corner, and you're like, there you go. And Jerry's like, no, don't give him the fucking stone. And he's like, he's going to kill you. I have to. Like, here, take it. And he goes, oh, thank you so much. And then he immediately kills Jerry anyway.
Didn't see it coming.
I know. That was great. I loved it.
Head lopped off, rolling around the ground. And you're like, oh, God, no. And then fucking Ambrose becomes some kind of like oversized ogre monster, but you kill him. So he's dead.
Thank
now.
God.
And then you see another really quick vision of the Celtic King getting buried, which is more in detail, but that's fun.
Yeah. Scary.
And then your next goal is to go and kill Kaisinger. So you head to the Hell Dimension, Oneros. And after a long battle, you best him by throwing him off a cliff into lava. So it was a fun fight, but the cutscene's just like, here you go.
Yeah.
And because you did this, all the people that were there in the magical dimension of Oneros, they like snapped out of this magical curse because he was actually enslaving them the whole time.
What?
And I just love this moment. I don't know if you guys noticed it in the video, but like this horrifying like skeleton eagle thing with a wild ass beak creature comes to you and you're like, I'm going to fight it. I'm going to kill it. They're like, no, dude. Thanks for freeing us. And you look over and they're all just like waving their wild ass wings everywhere.
Yeah. I have like crow creatures rejoice.
Yeah. They were just like, grrr. I'm like, this is fucking weird.
Yeah. That was neat.
I get it. I understand. They're like, thanks for saving us. We're not slaved. You killed all our friends, but hey, what were you going to do? Right? Later. Like, yeah. It was so weird. I don't know why they had to add the slavery element in this honor.
That's so you know he's bad.
Yeah.
So next up is Aaron. It's kind of hard. Because he's sort of like in a ghost form at the moment.
He's the guy you've been seeing the whole time, right?
Yeah, he had this red hair, this suit. He'd pop up in the hallway and he'd be like, talk some shit and then run away. Well, dematerialize? I don't know. Disappear?
Talk some shit.
Yeah.
Talk shit, bail. The old chump slap move, as we call it.
Too true.
And so you find Bethany's private torture chamber and you find out through a vision here, this is where
Sexy.
She... tortured Aaron.
Why would she torture her bro?
Oh, I don't know. I don't have a reason. Probably a really good one.
I don't know. Okay, because I didn't figure that out. I was hoping.
No, she tortured him good, though.
Just because she's a bitch.
She's really super mean.
Yeah, she truly is.
Love of the game, maybe? I don't know.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have called her a bitch, I guess. That was unfair of me.
Is this the meat hook monster in this room?
Yeah, they reminded me of like the enemies from The Suffering. Do you guys remember when we talked about that one?
Yeah, it was kind of like The Suffering mixed with like Pinhead with the meat hooks that fly out.
Yeah, it's definitely in that universe or the Pooh world in Silent Hill.
Yeah, yeah.
But there, it took some inspiration from a couple places. But was, yeah, Silent Hill was definitely before this.
Mm-hmm.
And you end up getting in a boss fight with Aaron. You cut his head off. And after you cut his head off, you just kind of move on. You have some kind of like evil fever dream. I have it written here.
I have caveman dreams.
Yeah, there's some of that in there too. There's weird flashbacks to like magical primeval dimensions. This one's called Eternal Autumn.
Mm. Yeah, that sounds lovely.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so you finally, Patrick heads to find the last sibling, Bethany, here. He finds her. You fight her. You cut her head off with the scythe. And then the ghost world sort of like transports you to another location.
Oh.
So you're not in Eternal Autumn. You're kind of transported to somewhere else. And it's like this Stonehenge looking thing with rocks coming out.
That's the standing stones that they talked about in the beginning.
Exactly. It's the standing stones. And you guys are not going to fucking believe who's standing there.
Who?
It's Jerry.
What?
Jerry, how did he get there? He was bedridden.
Well, he was bedridden, but you know what? It was a ruse. He was dead the entire time. He died way back in the big one, World War One.
What? Saving my life or saving the life of your main character?
Patrick.
Probably shortly after, yes.
Yeah, Patty. No way. That's crazy.
Yeah, he pulled a fast one on us. It turns out that Jeremiah was actually the main bad guy this entire time.
But I thought Ambrose killed him.
You were wrong. No.
He just went and picked up his head and went bloop. Or no, sorry, it was like more like a.
And oh, because he never right used the sight.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And apparently he plays this whole thing off like, man, what a lot bunch of lucky breaks in my direction. Apparently he planned very little of that moment.
It sounds like he planned the whole thing.
Mm. Yeah, well, we'll get to it in a sec, but technically, yes. You see him, he was the main bad guy the whole time. He was actually using Patrick so that Patrick would show up, get rid of his siblings, his competition, so he could just take the stone. Mm. And that way he could siphon power from the king.
He was playing both sides.
He was playing both sides. Either way, he gets left alone. Maybe he gets the stone. Maybe he doesn't, but he's going to try.
The whole time I was watching this, I was thinking of Snatch with Benicio Del Toro. He's like, where is this stone?
If he has a stone, he's able to siphon power from the king, which would allow him to remake the world as he sees fit. So I don't know,
like Dark Echo.
All-powerful. Yeah, omnipotent.
Whoa.
Of course. And then you fight Jerry. You and Jerry go back and forth, you fight. And then you decapitate Jerry, you kill him. It was the end of the fight. But bad things happen. You see, he was the last covenant. And because he was the last person in that family, it broke the deal, which unleashed the mummified Celtic warrior that was used to seal away the king by the OG druids. Wait.
So he broke the covenant?
Well, the covenant was the family's name, remember?
Yes, but Jeremiah, the word covenant. Covenant also means like a deal.
Does it also mean, is it a person who is part of a coven?
Well, it's also like a deal. Like, all right, I'll never do this again.
But it's broken now.
Yeah, it's broken.
Yeah, now it's broken because all the covenants are gone. I'm just saying it's allegorical.
All right.
That's over my head. That's that smart talk.
Yeah, I don't know. He's talking, I think he's talking about Indiana Jones.
Maybe. That dude who put his hand in the fucking chest that just like opened up for him.
Is that a covenant?
That's Kano.
Is that a covenant?
You're right. That is. It's both. It's Kano and a covenant.
Whoa.
So then you fight this guy. The ground bursts open. The warrior, I just read that. So you fight this guy and then he turns to dust. And then the king himself shows up and he's this hideous looking insect looking fucking monster who breaches the walls and falls into our reality. And then, you know, you do what you do best. You beat the shit out of him, you kill him, he's dead.
Mm-hmm.
And you leave the fight, but you're kind of jacked up too. And you leave this island in a daze, you find a boat, you just lay down in it, you're just looking at the sky, kind of thinking about it, kind of recovering. And this man comes up in a robe and he has a stick and he grabs a stone and he pushes you into the ocean, like just because you're too weak, you're too fucked up to do anything about it. And Patrick the whole time is like, wait, you, it can't be you. But oh see, God. We don't know who he's looking at.
Well, who could it have been? Oh,
I know. I was wondering who it was.
We have no idea. We're going to have to go play the sequel because get after this is a little bit of a voiceover about how there's a bunch of brotherhoods of Saints George, all monasteries all over the world. I'm just getting started with taking out all these evil things at these monasteries. And then the game ends.
Oh, so it's like the end of Borderlands.
Sort of.
Yeah, kind of.
Sick.
Yeah, sick.
So that's it. That's the game. We did it. And let's get to our final thoughts. How does that sound, guys?
Fucking A, man. All right. Let's do it.
Let's start with Chump there.
Me?
Sure.
This guy?
Yeah.
That one right there.
All right. Let's do it.
Did watching this video make you want to play Clive Barker's Undying? Did the story work for you, or did it just leave you sitting there crying? And what sort of score out of 27 stars you'd think would ride the lightning?
It doesn't even rhyme.
Yeah.
But
lighting.
Whatever. He tried. Did I want to play this? No. Not at all. I didn't watch any gameplay. I don't even know what it was. It's kind of like, is it survival horror?
First person shooter.
Yeah. Oh, first person shooter.
Yeah, but it's like, it predates Aim Down Sights. So it's just the reticle in the middle of the screen you point at.
Yeah, no. Probably won't play it. Did the story work for me? I mean, I liked the idea. I mean, the execution was a little off, but the idea that this guy saved your life in the war and then... In the war, this is after they did the whole fucking ritual and shit, right?
Oh, yeah. Long after.
Long after.
Oh, so yeah. They did that when they were like kids.
Yeah. So during the war, did he know about this?
I think Jeremiah did.
Yeah.
So he knew he couldn't die unless... Or he was dead? Or they had to die first.
My theory or my understanding was that the ritual happens, and then when you actually do die, you become back. The undead.
Okay. Oh, that makes sense. All right. Well, not really, but yeah.
So I think his health was actually failing. Well, he said he died back in World War I.
Yeah, so he probably died first of the siblings and then came back and was like, oh, shit, this is neat, and then watched the others come back.
He is the oldest, he said, so it could have been him that was the first.
Yeah. Either way, it was neat story. I like the idea, and I like the idea that this is happening all over the world. It's some type of portal. Well, I guess if nobody did the fucking ritual that this family did, then the portal wouldn't even be a problem.
Oh, there's that too, yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. It was okay. So, out of 27 stars, what am I going to give this thing? I mean, the story was okay. It didn't really go into much detail, and the whole... jumping between worlds and shit, being transported, I don't know, kind of didn't make any sense. But all in all, I'm going to give it a 6.
Okay.
It was okay. Characters were, there's a couple of them. They were all different, but not really. You didn't really get into them, so you couldn't really have character development. But it was okay. 6.
Okay. 6 it is. How about you there, Dr. Scientist? Chump Slap has questions for you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Did watching this video make you want to play Clive Barker's Undying? Was the story pretty good, or do you think they weren't even trying? And out of 27 stars, how much would you give this by end?
Fell apart at the end.
By end.
Completely
by end.
Useless.
I know. I never get a third word. I get the first two, and I think I whatever. Shut up. Go.
Would I play it? If it's a first-person shooter, probably not. But the story worked for me. I mean, it's not... bad. It's just like every other game we did like this, like Deadly Premonition and
other Clive Barkers.
Oh yeah, Jericho. I mean, it's not as good as the one we did last year. That was the number one game or in the top five. I can't remember what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it was called, huh? Whatever.
Yeah, I don't remember. But yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It's just
I dozed off. Was I supposed to come up with something?
No,
I just can't remember that game. But it doesn't matter. I mean, it's okay. It's your typical deal with the devil. Oh, no, he's not dead kind of. I don't know. There's nothing new in here.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're kind of getting played the whole time. I'm kind of intrigued for the second one, see what's going on.
Did they make a second one?
I don't know. We'll find out.
I think they did.
I guess so. Ooh.
But as for now, I'll give it 7 stars.
7.
Okay. Right. 7 it is.
What about you, Papa Scotch? I'm pretty sure Chumpslap has some questions for you.
Oh, sure. Did watching this video make you want to play as Patty Galloway?
Okay.
Was the story pretty good, or did the plot just kind of fade away? And out of 27 stars, how many would you throw that away?
Nice. I'll take it.
I don't know. It's good enough.
Did watching this make me want to play it? It made me want to play more horror first-person shooters because I feel like there's not that many of them. Like, what is it? Fear?
Yeah.
What else we got? What else? What else? Exactly. Doom, maybe? So, yeah, I like those games. They're fun. I really liked Fear with the spooky ghost running around, and I want to be more reminded of that more. So, it kind of made me want to play the game, but I don't know if I could go back and do the single reticle in the middle of the screen. Like, those were tough days, man.
Yeah.
Those were tough times, especially once you could aim down the sights. It's like, oh, this is the future. Got it.
Yeah, this is beautiful, man. This is what shooting people's actually like, man.
Exactly. It makes me want to play Call of Duty. Maybe I'll buy the new one. No. All right. So kind of made me want to play spooky shooters, but not this. So I guess no, didn't make me want to play it. Did the story work for me? I liked it. I liked the idea that it was just this group of knucklehead kids that were bored in the 1900s. Like 1900s or 1910s.
Yeah.
And they're like, fuck it. Let's do this spooky book thing because we're bored out of our goddamn minds. Like, all right. And then they actually unleashed a demon. I thought that was fun. It was.
I do like that.
Silly. I like the idea of this 1923 Ghostbuster. Like this could be just the origin story of the Ghostbusters, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was fun. Clive Barker, when he puts his name on stuff, I don't know if that's good or bad. I mean, Hellraiser was amazing.
Yeah, the first
I think he just, like, put his name out there too much. You know what I mean? Put his name on too many things.
Well, yeah, he did try to get into the gaming too much and then, I don't know, fell apart.
I think now he just paints.
Oh, like Jim Carrey?
Yeah, yeah, like just fucking, I remember seeing, like, an interview or something on YouTube where he was, just had canvases all over his house that of paintings he did. And they make no sense to anybody but him. Which checks out.
That's cool. Yeah. I wish I could do that.
Yeah.
I know. Painting seems interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I got to have a job to pay for shit.
Yeah. It takes too much time to clean up afterwards, too.
I never really got into it. You've done some painting in your time, Sir John Slap.
Oh, yeah. I used to love doing it 20 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe someday I'll get into it. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe I'll bring
it
back.
Another fucking expensive hobby. Good idea. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Anyway, that's a long way of saying, sure, story worked for me. What score out of 27 stars would I give it? I think I'm a little bit more favorable than you guys. I don't think Dr. Scientist is wrong saying we've seen a lot of games exactly like this, but it did remind me more of like Eternal Darkness, Sanity's Requiem.
That's the one I was trying to think of.
There you go. Yep.
I thought that one was better than this, but...
Well, it's way, yeah.
That was what I was thinking too. Like Resident Evil's better than this. That takes place in a mansion.
Yeah.
The one we just talked about, Eternal Darkness, that one's also better than this. That also takes place in a mansion. Then I was like, how many mansion horror games are there? I guess a lot.
Yeah, there are.
This ain't better than any of them. So I was a little bit more generous because I like the idea of the family ghosts coming back to literally haunt you instead of figuratively. So I gave it a 10.
Oh,
nice. Yeah.
And what's that pop off at?
That gives us a Michael Jordan perfect 23.
Jordan.
Which to give you an idea of some games from back from Jordan's number was 23.
I know, I got it.
I know. Why are you saying fuck him?
Michael Jordan.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm wearing Jordan pants right now. They're so comfortable.
He played for the Bulls. He won a lot of his championships there.
Yeah.
The Bulls.
The Bulls and then the fucking Wizards. White Sox.
Wasn't he manager for the Wizards?
He owned them.
Owned them, okay.
He doesn't anymore. Did he sell his stake?
Probably.
Yeah. Who gives a shit?
Nobody. Dark Messiah of Might and Magic also got a 22, and boy, I don't remember that one.
It's almost the same.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is. It was you ended up being the guy at the end, the bad guy, but you were, whatever, I don't feel like explaining.
Yeah, he opened his fucking gate or whatever.
Yeah.
And ReCore also got a 22. Well, not a 23, but a 22.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. This fits.
So yeah, right in that wheelhouse. So that's our final thoughts we got on this game. I have a couple topics we can kind of work our way out with.
Yeah, it's yours. Come up with one.
Well, they're not topics. They're questions from a game, and I don't like who made this game, so I'm not gonna say what it is.
Okay.
And they're not paying us to, so you know, fuck them. We got a nice little light question and a heavier question.
All right. I want to go first. I want to go first.
Which would you like?
Let's go with heavy.
Okay. Here we go. Sir Chomp Slap,
mm-hmm.
You have a choice between a sum of money and world peace. How much money would it take for you to give up world peace?
$50.
$50?
No, I don't know, whatever. I just the sum of money that would set me off to never have to work or do anything again.
That's not the answer to the question.
Yeah. What was the question? The sum of money? What is it?
Yeah, what's the number?
What's give us a concrete
answer. I don't know
how
much it fucking it's going to cost me to live the rest of my life without working. With inflation the way it is? Come on.
Then go insane. Say
that's just a cop out. That's just a cop out.
I'll go with 5 million. 5 million's plenty. I'll take it.
Oh, I'd have to go way higher. I'd have to go in the bills.
What?
Fuck like that.
Give me 1 million, you can take world peace. Wait, am I paying taxes on it?
No, this
in
is
this
clear.
Scenario, I suppose cleared. No.
Okay, I'm not paying taxes? Yeah, give me a mil. I'm happy.
Yeah, I could probably live off a million and not give a shit.
I'm pretty selfish about this. Get out of debt. I'd still have to work, but...
Does world peace last forever?
Yeah.
Or is it just until I die?
That's a good question, because it just says for world peace. It may mean world peace for 30 seconds, for all we know.
Yeah. I don't know. What would you take?
I'd have to have so much money I never saw another human again. So...
No, that's why you don't have world peace. So you don't have to see humans again.
Well, no. I'd probably take like whatever Elon Musk is worth, 500 billion, 400 billion, whatever it is.
Like you
billion.
Can't even spend that much.
Yeah.
You could buy world peace for that.
Exactly. That's the loophole.
What exactly is humanity doing here to win your favor so much, Papa Scotch?
I mean, they make really cool art. I like these videos.
You just
want
to play more Chell.
May, that's it. That's it.
Yeah, they
if
keep doing that anyway.
Peaceful world, if we're a fully peaceful world, they're not going to make Chell anymore.
You know, you could be like one of those people that, what are they called? Patrons. You can just pay people to make cool art and shit.
Yeah, but.
How is this
world peace
getting achieved?
You're thinking way too much about this. We were just supposed to glean how bad of a person you were.
Well, I mean, you're going to have to like eliminate.
Are there still borders and shit?
Yeah.
Are there still countries and states?
Yeah, no religion.
You guys are overthinking.
Is this the song?
No, these are questions you ask when you're dealing with world peace, Papa Scotch.
I suppose, yes.
Everything is peaceful. This is like a fucking utopia.
There's no wars. There's no conflicts.
Are we still in a capitalist United States?
We are. Everything is happening exactly as it is now, except there's no armed conflicts going on. No friggin'
who gives a shit?
Wars.
Yeah.
Nothing like that.
Yeah, I'll take a million.
You know what? I'll take a million too. Fuck it. Fuck the five and go down to one.
Damn. Okay. Let's fucking brighten it up then. Jesus. I would take a lot more.
Well, just give me any money. You can have no world peace. Who cares?
Okay. Well, I feel like we're not in the spirit of the question, but let's go ahead and let's move on to the second question.
All right.
And Dr. Scientist, you have to answer first this time.
All right. No problem.
If you could play one video game for the rest of your life, what game would it be?
Wow.
Yeah, it's a lot harder than you think, isn't it? Because you think of an answer, you're like, wait, no. I'll go first. I'm going to be honest with myself, with who I am as a person, with a style of game and a game that somehow tricked me into playing like 700 hours in. And I guess I'd have to pick The Division 2.
It would have to be a game I could play anytime for just a little bit of time.
But you could also sit down and play for like hours if you wanted to.
But because I'd have to play it for the rest of my life.
It'd have to be constantly changing, kind of like a roguelike.
Oh, I'm going to go with maybe a game I could speed run.
Oh, learn to speed run it. Yeah, yeah.
But it'd be a long speed run. I'm going to go with Shin Megami Tensei 3 Nocturne.
Of course. That's what I was going to say.
That was an easy pick. That was so easy. What's that game like? What's it about? What's the story here?
It's about the end of the world, and you basically try and decide what's going to happen with the new world. I'm very paraphrasing here, but it's got a demon catching accent, similar to Pokemon, but it's with demons.
All right,
okay,
and all kinds of stuff going on. Go watch a speedrun of it.
Okay,
what was it one more time for the folks?
Shin Megami Tensei 3 Nocturne. You can just look up Nocturne, probably.
Shin Megami Tensei 3 Nocturne. Of course, yes.
Nocturne.
But there's probably more than one game named Nocturne, but that's the one.
But we all know this one. Shit.
What about you? You got a pick, Sir Jumpslap?
Does online poker against real people count?
I suppose it's one game.
Yeah, and fuck it. Let's do it. And at least I can make money and shit.
I don't know if you're a genius or insane.
I know, right?
I don't know.
I think, yeah, if I had to, I'd try to turn it into a fucking job. And then it's always different. You know what I mean?
It's true. I mean, there are people who exist that just play poker. Yeah. Like, that's not that crazy of a thing.
No. I used to do it back in 2000, 2002 when poker was huge. I used to play online all the time. It's great. Make real money.
Yeah, that was like our intro to online gambling.
Yeah, that's back when it was illegal.
And then people thought they were great at playing regular poker just because they could play video poker.
Yeah, it was awesome. What a weird time.
Dude, I used to wake up before work and play real hands of poker. Sometimes I'd make more money than I would make at work that day. And I'd just go into work being like, I don't need this shit.
Awesome.
Yeah, yeah. That's, I think that's what I'd do. That'd be great.
All right, so online poker, the Division II, and Nocturne.
Now you guys feel like idiots, huh?
No, because I would hate to play poker all the time.
It doesn't say you have to.
It's just when you're playing, I assume.
I guess it's the only game you can play,
yeah,
right? Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Kind of suck after a while, but, you know, whatever. I'll just stop playing video games altogether.
There you go. Perfect. You just never play video games again. If you have a weird or wild-ass story about why you'd take a certain game to be your favorite game of all time that you're going to play forever, let's just ignore the first question about how much money it would cost you to just give up world peace. These guys.
It's kind of a downer.
They went low. So where would they send that email to, Sir Chompslap?
Well, you can send that to plottytime@gmail.com, and I'll read and respond, because I kind of like, I'd like to hear you guys answer, because that would be neat.
100% guaranteed response rate. He has never responded at least once to an email, so you can't keep that streak if you don't.
Yeah, never not respond.
He's never not respond. He can't keep doing it, guys, if you don't send him emails. So send him emails.
Exactly.
And if you need to get to us faster on the socials with more pictures and whatever that number would be, how would they do that, Dr. Scientist?
At PlottyTime on Instagram or Threads, or stop by the subreddit, and we'll all talk about how much money it would take to not have world peace.
And just keep it all for yourself. You can also go to YouTube, like and subscribe there. Really helps us out. Or go to PlottyTime.com, which takes you to our eBay store, where you can buy stuff like merches and towels and shit. That does it for us. So as always, shout out to Blaine JJ, Drago the Slago, Gamer's Little Playground, I Am Panax, and Luis Guzman. Don't trust Dr. Scientist. We'll talk to you next time. Peace.
Peace.